Hello, everyone, and welcome to Shoujo, the podcast where I, Sarah, introduce my friend Joe to shoujo anime, the genre of anime that traditionally targets a young female audience. I'm the veteran viewer of that, having been the targeted audience. And Joe here is just some guy who found anime in college. And here we are today doing a podcast together.
I'm just some guy. No prior relationship between the two of us.
I just found him to make it so that the podcast name worked.
Yeah, you started with
His real name's not even Joe.
And sought me out. Yes. Lore accurate.
Just kidding. Nope, this is Joe. We've been friends for nearly 15 years. And yeah, we both like anime and gaming. And this is our way of staying in touch because we're both. Our friendship has been torn apart by Joe's career success and, you know, success at leaving the hellhole that is Texas, which is where I reside. And I'm bringing the manic energy today, and maybe we get another fresh start because I don't know why my heart's racing. My heart racing so much.
Stop me there.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All of my audio just lagged for like a solid minute and I couldn't hear anything, but now it's back and it's still recording, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, what were you saying? Okay. I'll just like it never happened. Just
I was being a lunatic.
Up.
That's what I was doing. I think I should just try again. Sorry, no. Was that someone?
I don't know.
In?
I mean, this is our first, like we have some new listeners.
So.
Hello, new listeners.
Oh,
I don't know how Sarah edited this, so maybe you just heard that entire thing where my audio crashed for like a second and it came back. We here at the Shoujo podcast always start off by catching up on our lives. And if you were watching our previous show, which just ended, where we covered Chihaya Furu, we took a surprise 2-week break. you will be happy to know that it's because we recorded both episodes. I left for a week and then uploaded the wrong audio.
It was also, I feel like it was joint fault. Because it would have been delayed regardless because I didn't say anything until Joe was already back in town. So it's all me. It's always me. Procrastinating.
No, I uploaded the wrong thing. It wasn't even possible.
On. Did that whole wedding thing.
Yeah. What's been happening? Fill me in.
I don't know. Okay. I literally just told you like, hey, Joe, I can't record tonight. I'm tired. And now my heart is like racing and I feel like weirdly hyper. So I don't know.
Good.
Yeah. My sister got married and I freaking slayed that speech. People came up to me afterwards being like, I didn't know you did stand up. Even though I literally tried to not be as like not make as many jokes, but so it went well. I caught the bouquet. Honestly, there was only like two other girls, so the competition wasn't stacked, but I also just wanted to be a winner, so I went for it. And I got it.
Yeah.
So if I'm the next one getting hitched, no one's getting married for a long, long time.
It's going to be a dry spell for everyone else.
For real. Well, I think, my stepdad joking, he's like, no, I just paid for this wedding. No, Sarah, don't catch that. Okay. I just had my siblings from Australia just left to go back. So it was nice catching up with them. Haven't seen them in years and years and years. So it was good. They're like full blown little adults now. It's crazy.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, it turns out my car, the last person driving it was a smoker because I like cleaned it and found like old cartridge packs. So that's fun. That's cool. what else? Let's see. Turns out Pepper probably has congenital kidney disease, so that's fun.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean good things. So TBD on that. Oh, I started playing Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines 2. I've played it like twice now. I'm really, really bad at it. Like, it's too fast paced. It's because you're a vampire and everything you can do is like fast and it's too fast. I'm bad at it. I had to lower the setting to easy for normal. Normal was too hard for me. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling. I feel like this is a bad possible new listener is going to be like, who is lunatic on this podcast? Why don't you bring the normal person energy?
There's going to be some weird energy in this episode, I feel like. And also based on the content of the first three episodes of My Happy Marriage. So, yeah. Well, it's not like I was doing more normal stuff. I went to visit my family in Houston. And let me tell you, it's really hot in Texas. I don't know if you knew this, but...
Oh, it's all I've been complaining about for, like, the entire time we've done this podcast. So I'm sure everyone listening is aware.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it was pretty hot. It was good to see my family. I also, that was my first trip that I had my Steam Deck, and so I decided to play, you know, there's all these different games I could play on my Steam Deck, but I thought, what if I played Star Fox Adventures for the GameCube? Mm-hmm. The game that very clearly was supposed to be... So apparently this is like the developers were making a game called like Dinosaur Island or whatever, which was very clearly like a Zelda-like thing, and then they just had to merge it with Star Fox. So it's like, it's about Fox going down to Dinosaur Planet and having to save the dinosaurs, and also Crystal, I guess, who is a character that's introduced in this game. Who's like a blue fox lady who's like sexy. But she spends the entire game stuck in a crystal and does nothing.
Dang. Lame.
This game has almost nothing to do with Star Fox. You could definitely tell. There's like brief sequences where you're actually in the R-Wing shooting stuff and they last like 5 minutes. It's very weird.
Is this your first time playing it or you're replaying it?
Oh, it's my first time playing it. Because I had played like Star Fox, the original Star Fox 64, and then I'd played Zero, the one for the Wii U, and I'm like, what if I just played all the other ones? So now I'm playing Assault, and that game is hard because I picked hard difficulty because I'm like, how hard can Star Fox be? And it turns out it's hard because there's like sequences where you run around, and I don't like running around in Star Fox. I don't like that.
Well, why do you do this to yourself?
I don't know, because I'm like, what if I beat all the Star Fox games?
You're doing 500 other things. At least do it on easy.
That's true. I did, in the meantime, join a second book club. So now I have two book clubs again.
Yep.
Just like before.
And?
Well, this book's okay. This book's going okay.
I'm almost finally done with my Shark Attack book that I've had like forever.
Oh, nice.
Finally, I was done with it. Now I can get back to my good romance.
Yeah.
That'll take me like 2 seconds to read. That's riveting.
Riveting.
I want to read about a couple that got divorced, but their kids are going to parent trap them by pretending to get lost in the woods or something.
Uh-huh.
Concern for your child's safety. So romantic, I'm sure.
That's good. When I was in Houston, the thing I apparently do with my mother is I watch a bajillion movies. So I watched a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
We watched a Hallmark movie that I actually liked called Round and Round. And I liked it because you know how in Hallmark movies they talk weird?
I've never watched a Hallmark movie in my life.
They talk weird in Hallmark movies. This one, they talk kind of normal.
Okay.
So
round and round.
Yeah, it was like a Groundhog Day movie, but it was Hanukkah themed.
Okay.
Yeah. So I watched that. I watched Blade 1 and 2, which I had never seen before.
I watched those recently. Well, in the last few years. It's pretty good.
Yeah, like, no, it's fun.
So not on my radar at the time or ever after until I was on a plane and watched it. But yeah, Wesley Snipes freaking like crushing it in that role.
Yeah, so that was fun. I watched those two. I watched The Sting with Robert Redford and Paul Newman. That was good. They're doing like con man stuff. Very fun.
Okay.
Entire sequences from the anime Great Pretender is just pulled from the Sting. I feel like.
Okay. Is that a good one? I've seen it.
Great Pretender? Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
You
colorful.
Never watched Baccano, did you?
No.
I think you would like it.
Oh.
It's like zany, friggin' bajillion characters on a train thing, kind of.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. That's cool.
Ensemble cast. It's like the whatever art style.
Oh, yeah, where it's just like
pretty
a bunch
good.
Of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I watched that. I watched Vertigo, the Hitchcock movie Vertigo, where you get to watch Jimmy Stewart, like, break down into a weird freak, have like a nervous breakdown over the course of a movie. Pretty good.
Nice. Oh, I went to House of Torment for the first time. I just
Haunted House.
It wasn't scary at all.
Oh, wow. Really? At all?
No.
I remember being scary in high school.
Like a dude came up and ran behind me with one of those little like sawless chainsaws. I felt my hair like floop up and then I was just like, you know, like, oh, hi.
Are you just immune to being scared?
That's all. I don't think so, because I feel like I get startled just playing like a game that's not scary sometimes. But like, I don't know if I'm just good at like bracing for. My pride won't let me be scared in front of other people.
Oh, you think maybe you've just like existed as an adult in the real world for long enough that you're not scared by fantasy stuff anymore? You're like, this is less scary than buying a new car.
Maybe. Or like I went to Six Flags a few weekends ago and like, you know what? I really like that because I feel something doing that. Unfortunately, the person with me got nauseous very easily.
Oh.
And so I had to have self-restraint and not ride that many rides. Oh, because it was Fright Night. It wasn't scary either. What is happening?
Dude, you're just too good for it now.
I'm mad.
You got
to
start playing VR horror games.
I wanted to be scary. Well, and then I played Phasmophobia for work, kind of, because we did a thing with another dev, and I thought it was going to be in VR. But they're like, no, we're too scared. So I was like, dang it. And then I wasn't scared.
you didn't do it.
I literally just couldn't see. The screen was just black. It was so dark. I couldn't see anything playing that game.
Yeah, that game's really dark.
So it's like being old, trying to read a menu at a restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I also watched a scary movie a movie that's supposed to be scary. I watched Weapons, that movie.
Ooh, okay. I feel like I heard a bunch of good things about it. It's just like a weird kid thing, right?
Yeah, it has like a weird premise. And like it has a good like first 40 minutes and last 20 minutes. And the other hour is incredibly boring. It's terribly paced.
Long.
There's huge amounts. I'm like, this movie should have been an hour shorter. It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes. It didn't need that hour in the middle at all.
It's to like let you rest your heart from the first part. Isn't that the person who made some other movie that was like The Barbarian or something?
Oh yeah, Barbarian. Yeah, I watched that too. Yeah, that also had like a good setup and then it kind of fell off.
Okay, so apparently those are what's popular right now. I haven't seen either, but it's not impressing Joe, as you know, impressing me.
Nope.
Me and Joe totally have similar reads on everything.
That's right. You're about to see a simultaneous perfect read of My Happy Marriage.
I think we might be pretty sick on this, I imagine. We'll see. Actually, no, you're probably going to be a lot more forgiving than...
Forgiving.
For anyone new,
what are you about to say?
Sarah just dumps on people.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, then should we get into it? Is this the cue?
I questioned everything at the beginning, and by the end of the third episode, I was like, okay, maybe. But okay, yeah, we can do that. Okay, I didn't mention it at the top. You briefly mentioned it, but today, and obviously from the title, you guys can gather, we are starting a new series, My Happy Marriage, which just had a second season come out. So. People like this.
People like it.
I'm deciding. Or at first I wasn't convinced there was any taste left in anime, and then maybe let's just get into it.
What? Okay.
Well, because I was like, is this what? Okay, I'm just gonna say the first episode. I was like, is this what this warrants a second season? Like, is that how desperate we've been for shoujo that this show
just gets a second season? Okay. Damn, you hate Cinderella, huh?
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay.
Anyway, Joe.
So this our next show, our newest show, we've watched some shows. If you didn't know, we just finished up Chihaya Furu. We watched that for a bajillion years. And now we're watching My Happy Marriage. When we start a new show, if you've forgotten, which you probably have because we've been watching Chihaya Furu forever, I like to talk about give you some context about this show. Starting with like the anime production and then other episodes, I'll like go into voice actors and stuff like that. So My Happy Marriage is an adaptation of a light novel written by Akumi Agitogi, that was originally published online, and then it was like, you know, acquired by like a real publisher, and they republished it in 2019. It is still ongoing, it seems. So they're still publishing this as like a series. There was a manga adaptation that came out at the end of 2018, so it actually beat the official publishing. It currently has 5 volumes, so it's about 30 chapters total, I think, or 31. So it has a manga adaptation. There's also a live action film adaptation that was in March of 2023.
Saw that it exists.
Yep. So maybe that's some bonus content for us. And then the anime adaptation came out July of 2023. So a lot of stuff kind of all in a row. So this seemed to have taken off in popularity. There was also a stage play I saw on Wikipedia that was in 2023. Big year for My Happy Marriage.
Okay, maybe. Am I okay? The rough start, man. I don't know. We'll get into.
Well, okay. So this show, you know, aired. It has 12 episodes or 13 episodes in season one. I guess one of them's an OVA. And then season two was announced. It had season two, and then they've announced that there's going to be a season three. So popular show. It's getting. They're making more of it.
Good pick, Joe. Neither of us watched it before.
We have not watched this before. My mom actually has watched this. I think you recommended it to her not like a long time ago as like a new thing.
I mentioned it as like a new thing.
Yeah. You're like, maybe she liked that.
Mom loves it and I'm shitting on it. You think?
Well, you haven't
said
shitting
on it.
Yeah. Is that what you're going to do? We do not have the same take. I'm just going to tell you now, we have different takes on this show.
No, my from episode one to the end of three, there's hope.
Okay.
Continue. Anyway.
So this anime adaptation is done by Kinema Citrus Animation Studio, which was formed in 2008 from former Production IG and Bones members. They have made anime such as The Rising of Shield Hero, everyone's favorite isekai.
I've heard of it.
What are your thoughts on Rising of Shield Hero?
I've never watched it, and the name alone tells me I don't wanna.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a damn about your fake MMO anime.
I hate watched the first season with my friend, and then I couldn't make it through the first episode of season two because it was so bad. Yikes. They also make Made in the Abyss, which people have told me I would like, but also it's just like a horror thing.
Is that super depressing?
Yes. I think it's like a horror thing.
Or something?
It is children, and I think bad things happen to them.
Oh, dear. Joe, you'd love that. That's what your friends are saying.
That's what they say. And I'm like, I don't know if I'd really be into that. They also made Barakamon. I don't know what that is. And also Black Bullet, which I feel like I've heard of maybe, but I still don't know what that is. And they also made Yuyushiki and the Card Fight series. And lastly, they made one of the best shorts from the first Star Wars Visions collection. They made the one called The Village Bride, which I liked a lot. So they make a lot of stuff.
One
I don't watch, but they also make this show.
Isn't Bones members people who, well, not that it's likely the people who worked on Angelic Layer, but didn't Bones do Angelic Layer?
I think so. Yeah. Like Bones and Production IG are like huge and have been doing stuff forever.
Oh, yeah. So who knows?
Yeah.
If there's any crossover.
Yeah. I mean, they collaborated on stuff because there's a lot of their former people. But I think they're pretty, I don't know. I don't know how much they're collaborating now. Wikipedia credits Takahiro Kubota as the series director and who directed episode one. Anime series are always kind of weird about like who's directing them, because unless it has like a established director, it's like every episode's directed by someone else. But Kubota has worked on Dorohedoro, Ping Pong the Animation, and some other stuff I didn't know. Supervision and storyboard is credited to Abo Takao, who worked on Utena and a bunch of other stuff. So long time in there. Lots of people worked on Utena from these guys I like saw when I like went through some of the staff. The scripts are credited to Ami Sato, Takahito Onoshi, and Momokata Toyota. And the music is composed by Evan Call, who's like an American who's done music for anime like Violet Evergarden, Frieren, and the Hell Teacher New Baby remake. So that's interesting.
Okay.
Music's pretty good in this.
Yeah.
So that's the production staff. Not a lot of other stuff we've seen. Probably not a lot of stuff we will see from this studio on this show. But who knows? Maybe they'll...
We'll talk about voice actors.
Maybe they'll adapt
the characters stuff. Moving forward.
Yep. Yep.
In our future coverage of it.
So now we're going to get into the episode summaries, where we I summarize the episodes and we comment on it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
My Happy Marriage, Season 1, Episode 1, is called The Meeting. We open on a woman.
Look at this. Mm-hmm. All right. Hi, guys. My name is Sarah, and I interrupt Joe a lot.
Yeah. First bullet point. Good precedent. What's up?
It's nice to have a normal episode title again.
Yeah,
if it means something.
If you didn't listen to the Chai Furu episodes, all of those have like poem titles as episodes, and they were all incredibly difficult for me to say and had nothing to do with the content of the episode. So there's a meeting in this episode, believe it or not.
Continue.
We open on a woman contemplating the deep misery in her life of just like complete agony. But then she tells us that everything changes when she meets a mystery man. And then we jump to Taisho era Japan, which is like sometime between 1912 and 1926, when Japan is like modernizing and like imperialism is in full swing.
Yeah, I was going to say this is a I feel like I don't know how many other I've watched a literally like. I think I named it in one of our previous episodes, like Taisho marriage, something, whatever. Like only one other anime have I watched that was set in this time period. And it was like arranged marriage one, too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I feel like it's not one that we see a time period we see too often in anime here. Maybe in manga, but not in anime.
I feel like it's like Demon Slayer kind of around this time because they have like trains and stuff. There's weird because it's like. The era
That's
right
true.
Before
There's
this like, is like they get the technology and are like building up infrastructure. And here it's like kind of already there.
Yeah, because Mutsu whatever wears Western clothes. And this is where we start to see some people wearing Western. At least. I guess that's true. I guess Demon Slayer might be the most popular one to depict this era then.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just kind of shows up. It's hard. You wouldn't know it until a little bit later on. Because we're mostly staying in like one estate that is like a very traditionally Japanese. But once she leaves and goes into town, it's very obvious.
Yes, incredibly so.
We're introduced to our main character, Mio Sayamori, and her awful family consisting of her extremely blonde, wicked stepsister, Kaya, her very not blonde parents consisting of her cruel stepmother and stone-faced biological father. Why is this kid so blonde?
In all of the like villainess and this or all the like manhwa right now, I feel like it's always like a blonde sister who's the bitch in the like historical drama. I know, right?
I hate that.
Blondes. Ugh.
Here it was always blondes are dumb, but there it's like blondes are evil.
I mean, is that maybe that's just like a I don't know. Anyways, let's not think too deeply about it. I'm sure the author clearly didn't either.
Yeah.
Now people got crazy hair colors. I think
that's true. We got some interesting hair colors.
And
in
other
show.
Crazy things.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Realistic
compared to other anime.
Mm.
Anyway, Kaya throws some tea at Mio, and her mother take turns dunking on her for screwing up the tea, while her father just kind of sits there and does nothing.
The depressing times. Right off the bat.
With depressing
and it
times.
Doesn't slow down.
Later, the Sayamoris receive a guest, Mr. Tatsu Ishii, who has come to talk with their father. He's brought some sweets to the servants, making him the nicest guy in the series so far. He bought some stuff for this. Yeah, this doesn't last. This guy sucks. Mio goes out to sleep and overhears some servants gossiping about how Mr. Hasashi is here to arrange a marriage with the Sayamori girls, since they're both of marriage age, because Mio is already 19 years old.
Already. Freaking hag status.
Yeah, and Kai is like 16 or something, I don't know. Later, while sweeping, Mio is visited by Koji Tatsuishi, a nice boy who tagged along with his father, and he came so he could talk to Mio because clearly they got a little thing going on. They're like they got a crush on each other. How cute.
Mm-hmm.
They hang out and Koji gives Mio milk candy, which she has never had before, and she likes it, and then they eat it together, and it's cute.
Okay, there are cutesy in these parts where it's like the subtitle, she makes like a like a little hum sound, but it says like soft giggle. I'm like, she's not laughing. That's not a laugh.
That is not what that sound is.
Don't lie to me. Closed captions, you know, like.
Yeah. Koji admits that he's always wanted to save Mio from her family and make her happy. And it's very cute. I sure hope nothing goes bad.
I was like, he's a sad boy. She's a sad girl. This is a sad world. There's nothing happy going on.
No happiness.
Here. Just freaking dark depths of depression.
Yep. Later, Kaya asks her father for a new kimono, which he agrees, and then asks Mio, whose kimono is way more plain than Kaya's, to come to a meeting tomorrow afternoon. You thought I was gonna give you? No. Come to this meeting. Family meeting. Later, Mio thinks it's really weird that he'd ask her to come to a meeting instead of just ordering to do it, because she's basically their servant anyway. She's like, that's weird. Why did he even bother? Whatever. Because she's just like a servant to these guys. She's Cinderella.
It's true. I just watching it, I'm like, what is this? Why is everything so terrible? What shoujo is this?
It's the next day and Mio is working alongside the servants, as she clearly does often. And Kaya comes to taunt her. Later, Koji shows up wearing Western clothes and he sees Mio, but is very withdrawn. He tells her that he's here to meet with her father today and then leaves abruptly. It starts to rain as Mio is summoned to her father's meeting. She rushes off and tries not to get her hopes up that she'll be married off to Koji, the only good thing that would have happened to her in years. Mio enters the room and sees her parents in one corner and Koji and Kaya in the other, and Koji won't even look at her. Her father starts the meeting saying that Koji will be married to Kaya and become the head of the family, and Mio is crushed, realizing her last chance of happiness is now gone. Her father continues saying that Mio will be sent off to marry some guy named Kyaka Kudo. Is it Kyoka? I think it is. I think my notes are wrong.
Kyako Kudo. Yeah, I think it's the O.
I refer to him by his first name.
That rolls better.
Even though everyone calls him by his last name.
Kudos. What does Kudo mean? He's like, give kudos.
Yeah, it's Kyoka. It's Kyoka Kudo. Okay. I just had it wrong in that one.
What does Kudo mean?
What does a Kudo mean?
Well, it's like kudos to blah, blah, blah for this. What does kudos mean? Is this...
literally? I don't know.
Yeah. Kudos. And for anyone who doesn't know, Joe's a Japanese expert. He took it. He wrote it. Our always true compass navigating the words of Japan.
It's completely untrue. I can look at the kanji of his name, and the first one means pure, and the second one's to be hazy.
Oh, well, that's conflicting sentiments.
Pure haziness.
Hmm.
Yep.
We'll get to him.
We'll get to him. But anyway, she's got to go marry this guy. Koji appears to recognize his name and seems sort of distraught. And apparently this guy is famous, but in like a bad way. And Kaya taunts her wondering how long she'll last over there. Mio tries to object, but her father shuts her down. With no other option, she excuses herself and leaves. After the meeting, Koji leaves. The rain's really coming down and he sees Mio standing out in the yard with an umbrella. We get a flashback of an argument Koji had with his father about marrying Kaya instead of Mio. He wants to marry Mio, not Kaya. His father's argument is basically, look, it was Kaya or nothing. And also, like, Mio's gonna get out of the house, so, like, you know, she gets separated from her family. Mission accomplished. Also, I'm your dad, and you just have to do what I say, Koji, you idiot. Back in the present, Mio looks at her bio mother's cherry tree, which is now just a stump because they cut the tree down. She thinks about how comforting it was when it was still a tree. She thanks her mother for loving her and tells her goodbye because she has to leave now to go marry some guy.
This is such a bummer.
It's such a bummer. It's so over the top.
It's so much.
Yeah.
It's like she's got the like saddest weepy eyes. And like, of course, her bangs are all up in her face. Yep. So,
Oh, she's extremely pathetic.
She has like the skin tone of a zombie. Like she's I don't know what's happening, but it's unnatural.
Good.
Like what's happening?
She's beautiful. She's like pure white. Okay, this is beauty. Mm. Koji comes out to her in the rain. He apologizes, but she says it isn't his fault. They just got unlucky. She always gets unlucky. This is normal for her. She continues to insist that it isn't anyone's fault. Feelings are for people who get hurt. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Kaya calls Koji back in, and Mio thanks him for everything and walks away. That evening, Mio gathers her things because she's gonna leave immediately tomorrow, I guess. She's packing two pairs of clothes and a broken comb, and that's it, because that's all she's got. Her housekeeper comes in to see her and gives her a new kimono that her father told her to wear. Then she warns Mio that Kudo has a reputation for being ruthless and has had many fiancés already dismissed by him. So she's like, you're going to have to do your best because I don't think you could come back here. Is Sarah going to sneeze? Is it going to happen? I'm watching the video.
I didn't.
Okay.
Sadly. I had to live with that. Never experienced sneeze.
Dang. The phantom sneeze. Then her housekeeper notices that Mio has like no belongings, and Mio says that her family got rid of almost all of her mother's stuff. And so this was all the stuff that was left. It's the next day, and Mio is drawn. Has donned her new kimono and is ready to go. I really should spell check this.
That's one of my favorite things. And Joe's like, what? Oh, no.
I just like type it out. I type it out while I'm watching. So like sometimes things get auto corrected to the wrong word. Anyway, she looks at the estate one last time before leaving because nobody sees her off as she goes. She just leaves.
It's brutal because there is no joy in life. This is not an anime that contains happiness. Not even
there is no joy in life.
It.
Unfortunately, for all of these women, they live with the patriarchy and they have to listen to whatever their shitty dads say. I'm watching a lot of The Sopranos, so I get it, you know.
This is just the saddest, like setup. Like, not even, like, authentically, believably. It's just, like, trying to be the saddest show ever. And it's just,
this
like,
might have happened to someone.
Okay, sure, but, like, I know what this show is going to be. You can't trick me into thinking this.
Well, I thought that, but let me tell you, when we get to episode two, it turns out the show's about something else also.
Yeah. What is that?
Anyway, well, we haven't gotten there. Anyway, we get a flashback to Mio as a tiny child as we go through the sequence of her living, of her memories with her and her mother's tragic death, her father remarrying, and then having Kaya with his new stepmom, with her stepmom. Things get bad for her as Kaya becomes the center of attention and her stepmother's crusade of destroying all of Mio's mother's stuff happens.
Worst mom!
Like cutting down the tree.
But she's like cartoonishly bad, so I don't know. Where is she going to lay in the rankings? The rankings.
Absolutely wicked, wicked stepmother stuff. Again, this is the most like, I'm like, this is Cinderella. Yes. We're doing Cinderella. And we are.
And this isn't the first thing to ever do it. This is like literally the beginning of every single, I was reincarnated as a whatever.
Does this happen a lot? Okay.
Where it's all like, oh, the poor girl just lived her life and then her sister and who was supposed to be her fiance end up murdering her. And then she comes back to her life before it all happened to get revenge and blah, blah, blah. It's like this kind of start where they're all cartoonish because it's like a show where normally, or it felt like, you know, they're satisfying at first because it's like, dang, we never get like the good revenge where like they really get what's coming to them. But now that's like everything now. So now it doesn't feel very interesting, but it's like a similar setup of just like, let's just have it all be shit so we can wipe it clean later.
Yeah. Well, in the present, Kaya travels to Kudo's by streetcar and then by train. Hey, we're in the modern century. We're in the 20th century, baby.
Yes, it's interesting. It's just little.
Lastly,
little story. I don't know. It's just jarring almost to see.
It's like you leave this very traditional Japanese estate, and then it's like streetcar on a train.
Yep.
It's the 1920s or whatever. Lastly, she ends by walking along a road into the woods to Kudo's estate where he lives in the woods. She sees it and thinks that she imagined it would be bigger. You know, thought it'd be a nicer estate you had in the woods here, Kudo.
I know. She's not impressed.
Not impressed. She knocks on the door and is greeted by Kudo's housemaid, Yurie. She's a nice old lady, and she lets Mio in, and she tells her that Kyoka is here today, so she can meet him right now.
Finally, someone who,
has life in them and like speaks as if they have lived a life and experienced joy.
For a protagonist.
It's so jarring when we meet Yurie, who's just like a chill old woman. She's like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yes.
Oh, he's in today. You could go see him right now. Let's go. Compared to like how like dour everything else is. It's very funny. Mio introduces herself to Kyoka, who doesn't turn around to look at her during her introduction and continues to write whatever he was writing before she entered. Asks her how long she's going to bow for, and Mio apologizes. And then Yurie clarifies that like you could stop. That means you could stop bowing. He's telling you to stop out. And Mio raises her head and sees Kyoka, who's a hot guy, real tall and like silvery blonde hair, kind of, with a lot of sharp features. And he introduces himself as we cut the credits.
Okay. I don't think they do a very good job of making him look good in this first episode. I don't know what happened. They've stepped it up because like it like shows him. I'm like, oh, what? It doesn't look quite right. Like I can see what they're going for, but something about the way his face looks in that first, it's like, eh. It gets better afterwards.
I swear to God. Yeah, in that first shot, I thought he was like, I'm like, is this like a fox pretending to be a man? Like, he looks like a weird mythical creature.
Yeah, something's weird about like the head shape or something.
Yeah. Yep. But she made it, and he's a hot guy. And he sucks. He makes such a bad first impression.
He doesn't keep up the image for very long, does he?
No. Everything
changes constantly in this show. Nothing's forever or certain, or don't believe anyone on anything. Or the world set up. We're just going to lore drop crazy in episode two.
I can't wait till we get to episode two. It's so wild. But that's episode one.
Yeah.
So she's Cinderella. She gets sent off to marry a guy in the middle of the woods. I'm like, is this going to be Beauty and the Beast now? Like, what are we doing?
It's just like dowdy, like a dowdy show. It's just like, I don't know. I just keep being like, eye roll almost at how depressed we are and how this and that and how not interesting our character is, or, you know, like any lick or shred of anything. Except just sad.
Well, I mean, she's been like horribly abused.
So, I know, but
it is like the shell of a person having been reduced so much.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we only have 13 episodes. I don't know. It just feels like
it's true.
A thing like they just, I guess maybe it's because they show so much up front where normally it's like, I kind of had like a, there's like hints, and then like over the course of time they show what they've been through, versus this is just like, let's just all put it out there right off the bat.
It's only 12 episodes. We gotta go. We gotta move.
No revelations to be had about what's happened to her.
We know exactly what the score is. These people suck.
Yep.
The boy we thought was knife and would save her is condemned to marry her shitty sister and therefore cannot save her.
Yeah.
Ripped that kid. Whatever.
Freckles. We know that means you're not built for the spotlight in anime.
Maybe stand up for yourself, kid.
Let's say. Oh god. Okay. It's just each episode feels like episode one feels so strange. And then it gets better, but episode one is such a bizarre, like it feels shallow. It's just all very cartoony, like things we've seen in other depictions before. So
this feels just like pure setup to me, so I'm just like, okay, like what are we doing? But like next episode we figure out what we're doing, and what we're doing is very not what I thought we were doing.
They bury the lead
this first episode falls into the category of story that I call the past sucks, where I read it or like I watch it and like my biggest takeaway is that the past sucks. A lot of things I've been reading lately falls into this category. I just read Elias Grace by Margaret Atwood. That's a past sucks story. My main takeaway is like, damn, the past sucks. Wouldn't want to be there.
No, especially as a chick.
Yeah. Patriarchy bad. Damn. Who'd have thought?
Mm-hmm.
So many things I'm like watching or reading right now has that as a theme. It's very weird.
Yep. Good thing today, right now, rules.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
Better than this.
Yeah, we have deodorant at least.
You have deodorant. Mio could open a bank account if she wanted to. She could get approved for a credit card.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Now for
she could look up how to make a pipe
show.
Bomb online.
Episode two. Episode one.
Episode two is called About My Husband to Be.
And the
we
world
pick
he
up
lives
back
in.
Where we left off. Kyoka makes a provocative first impression by telling Mio that it's his house, so it's his rules, and she'll have to do everything he says with no objections. If he says to jump, she'll jump. If he says to die, she'll die.
Biggest
and then he's very surprised.
Eye roll ever. Oh my god, dude. Please. Poser.
This guy's trying real hard. And then he's very surprised when she just kind of plainly agrees to those terms and asks if there's anything else. And he just kind of stares at her as the OP plays. He's like, for real? You're not going to like push back on that at all? And the answer is no. She's just going to be like, yeah, okay. It's just like how it was before.
It just feels so strange.
He's testing her.
For 5 seconds.
Yeah. I think we get the OP. How do you feel about the OP?
It is totally average.
I liked it.
It's very I mean, the show makes me think it's super not about him at all. It's just about her transforming. So we'll see if that happens or if all because of him.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about
he's
their marriage.
Like two scenes.
It's a partnership.
1 second scenes. We see the sister more in the opening than we see him, probably.
That's true. He's not in the opening that much. No. But, you know, I don't know. Yeah, no, it's fun. I think it's pretty good. After the OP, Yurie shows Mio her room, and then she tells Mio that those rumors about Kyoka, they're not true. He's actually a nice guy. You'll see. Just ignore everything he said to you up to this point. He's nice, I swear.
Just immediately drop the act. He's not that bad. Yeah. All that talk last episode, blah, blah, blah. We only have 12 episodes. That's what's like everything that happens. I should just be like, right, there's only 12 episodes. That's why everything's happening the way it's happening.
Yeah, well, we get kind of an explanation for this. Mio's like, okay, and then they part for the night.
Yeah.
Mio lays down in her bed and thinks about how that went better than she was expecting. She thought it would go even worse because she expected to be yelled at or made fun of.
Husband,
so at least that didn't happen.
Been so
wow.
Sad. Such a sad
Jesus Christ,
life.
Lady. But she thinks that he probably assumes that she's gifted, which she isn't. So that'll be bad revelation for him when he learns that. Whatever that means. We're about to learn. We cut away to a flashback that explains that magics and ghosts are real, actually. Hey, do you think this was Cinderella? No, it turns out magic's real.
Grotesques is what they're calling these creatures.
Grotesqueries is what they call her, yeah. The Tetsu, No, I'm sorry. The Sai, whatever. Her family is famous for having members that can see ghosts and spirits. But of the daughters, only Kaya can see them. And Mio doesn't have any supernatural abilities. And this is a big reason why Kaya was the favorite and Mio was neglected. And also, she thinks she's useless because of this. Because she doesn't have magical powers. This was about magical powers the whole time.
Oh, I didn't even
hey, guys,
know
is that what you
powers.
Thought this was going to be about? I had no idea this was happening in this show. Where did this come from?
Nowhere.
Yep, so Mio doesn't have magic powers and can't see demons or whatever. Mio wakes up because that was all a dream. She's hungry and she goes to make some food. Yurie comes to the estate and is surprised that Mio is awake and also making breakfast. Usually no one's up this early.
You think?
This
is what it's like. I never watched it. Is this what it's like watching the Marvel What If, where it's like each episode is just some crazy different twist, but this is the anniversary where each episode is like a different.
This is the only big one. There's no big twist in episode 3.
We got 10 more episodes.
What if it was like episode 3? No. There's a werewolf.
I don't know. Episode 1, everything sucks. Episode 2, this guy's supposed to be mean. Episode 3, and there's magic. And then like, scratch the first psych character change. facade dropped immediately.
We get an explanation.
Sorry.
Making breakfast.
Mm-hmm. God, just
making breakfast.
Hating on everything. Sorry, I'm not gonna. No, Sarah.
Making breakfast is Yuri's job. She's like, yeah, hell yeah, this rules. You're gonna help me make breakfast? That owns. Let me help you out. And then they finish making breakfast together. Yay, Mio's making some friends. Yuri, a woman they pay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what else she gonna do?
Yuri and Mio bring Kyoka his breakfast, and Kyoka tells Yuri not to call him young master when it's just them, but she ignores him and refers to him this way throughout the episode.
I thought it was because it's like, oh wait, that chick is here? I didn't hear her because she says nothing. Because then it pans he and like, oh, she her. Is in the room.
Yes. we turn to see that Mio is in the room, in fact. Yuri tells Kyoka that Mio made this breakfast for him, and he asks her to sit next to him and tells her to take the first bite, and she's clearly confused and hesitates, and he accuses her of poisoning him, and he's like, yeah, I'm not eating food from people I don't know, and then he gets up and leaves.
Because he's some big deal, I guess.
Some big deal. Everything about this scene is depressing. Every scene, like, I understand that this is how it was back in the day. I understand that. But Jesus Christ, like, you just have to sit there while, like, your house... Your like housemaid and your wife just sit there and watch you eat because you're the head of the household. Fucked up and weird.
I don't know. It's freaking. I don't know, Joe. You're a dude. Tell me, what is it about that that's appealing?
It's important for men to feel like they're in charge of things. And the best way of doing that is by doing a bunch of stupid, symbolic, meaningless actions that create separation between you and the people you ostensibly are supposed to care about.
Okay. Thank you.
Patriarchy.
Nice. Thank you.
Definitely produces normal, well-adjusted people and not weird, deranged freaks. Anyway, he decided he's not eating breakfast. We cut to the special anti-grotesquerie unit, which is like some military branch.
Okay.
And we see Kyoka.
Because in the first episode, the girl talks of her sister Kaya talks about going to school. And then
she does talk about going to school.
I thought maybe that it was going to be like a magic school and we're going to be some magic school show or something.
Oh, shit.
And that this girl, Mio, was going to go eventually. Who knows? We got 10 more episodes, maybe, but
I don't know. We see Kyoka in an Imperial officer's uniform and he gives a speech to new recruits of the Anti-Grotesqueries unit, which is some kind of, like, magic military police force or something? It's very unclear where they fit in with the rest of the establishment. These recruits have special abilities like telekinesis, pyromancy, or clairvoyance, for example, and they're going to use them to fight ghosts and ghouls that are real. They're super real, and they harass people.
Not that we've seen them.
But all the recruits are skeptical because the number of grotesquerie sightings has been on the decline lately, so they probably won't even have much to do. But Kyoka whips him into shape by shooting off an ice blast like he's an X-Men.
As it's like finger gun ice blast.
Yeah.
Almost. It's like the icy Mustang from Full Metal or something.
Yep. It's yes. That's exactly what he does. He just blasts one off.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. This is not what I thought this show was going to be about.
Nope.
Later in his office, Kyoka is visited by his aide, Godo, who teases him about his new fiancé. But Kyoka isn't having it because he doesn't have much of a sense of humor, and he tells Godo to leave. Godo leaves, and Kyoka thinks about how Yurie defended Mio this morning and told her that he was being mean to her by accusing her of poisoning him. And he's like, dang, Yurie usually doesn't bother defending these fiancés. There must be something special about this Mio girl.
And that's when it all changed. That one thought.
That's when it all checks out. Sometimes you realize you've just been an asshole for the first episode and a half, and you decide that's not how you want to make your impression in your 12 episode anime.
Yeah, I better switch it up real fast.
Not that much. Back at the estate, Mio wonders how she can recover from this morning. She's like, if he doesn't like me, I'm going to get thrown out, and then I will have nowhere to go. Elsewhere, Koji meets with Mio's dad. They talk about some family business, because Koji still gets to be a character. We still care what's going on with her family. After their meeting, he talks to Kaya and offers to help out with some work around the house, and he brings a futon into Mio's old room and beats himself up for not doing more for her, and he thinks that he'll have to do better if he wants to help her out. Later, Kyoka gets home to find Mio waiting for him. She apologizes to him for this morning and says that she understands why he got upset. She wasn't trying to poison him. And he replies that he didn't really think that she was trying to poison him. He just didn't want to eat food from somebody he didn't know. That's almost like an apology, okay, except it's not.
But then I sucks. Feel like in a normal anime, it'd be like, yeah, when I was a child, my mother tried to poison, or some explanation for why he would feel.
Yeah.
Everything we just get like a vague
statement later about like how other fiancés are just interested in his money and power and stuff.
Well, it doesn't sound
but it would
like
be, yeah. This, it still doesn't make sense because, like, they're not married yet. So, why would she poison him? Mm-hmm. It doesn't even strategically make sense.
Mm-mm.
That evening, he eats dinner prepared by Yurie, but he's gotten home late, so it's cold. And Mio apologizes, and Kyoka tells her it's not her fault. And then he's like, stop apologizing all the time. I will also note this is a scene where it's just him eating as she sits in the room next to him, kind of like catty corner to him. It's weird.
Catty corner?
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's like, yeah. He's facing down and she's like facing to the right.
I just hadn't heard that phrase before.
Okay. Then he notices that she's not eating, which should have been obvious from the jump, dude. You have a tray. She doesn't even have a tray in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
He asks if she's eaten dinner yet. And she says no. And he's like, well, why didn't Yurie make you anything? But Mio says that she told Yurie she wasn't hungry because sometimes she just isn't hungry.
I can't believe she still didn't make food. I feel like it's very hard to make a meal just for one person. Surely there was leftovers.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's because she has to be sad. That's why there weren't.
She has to be sad. She has to feel useless and pathetic and weak.
And bring pity upon herself. Sorry. God damn. Sarah's out of control this episode. Okay, go on.
Trying to go. We're covering a lot of stuff today. Kyoka finishes and Mio offers to heat a bath for him because that's also part of the woman's job. But he says he'll do it himself because he's a pyromancer and he can do it in like 2 seconds. Don't worry about it.
Because I thought he was nice.
Mio
guy,
panics.
But apparently he can do it all.
He can just do it all. Mio panics as she realizes that she has no work to do and thus contributes basically nothing to the household. And she's like, I'm going to be thrown out for sure. I can't contribute anything. Later, Mio is cleaning and Kyoka apologizes to her through a screen wall about this morning.
Because we can't see him with like his hair not in a ponytail looking hot, maybe.
Is yeah. Looking hot. Is that why?
He needs. His hair is so thin. He's got the skinniest little ponytail in the world.
Yep. So he apologizes about this morning and then he says that Yurie is coming home late. Or it's coming in late tomorrow, so Mio can make them breakfast. He'll eat it. Also, the bath is still hot, so go ahead and take one. And she thanks him under her breath as he leaves.
So she's just taking a bath in his filth. Is that what's happening?
I guess so. I guess that's what you do.
I mean, it's better than nothing, I guess, back then.
I mean, they're like, there's like bath salts and stuff. I mean, the water isn't clear, right? So it's like, there must be some stuff in there. Mio takes a bath and thinks that maybe Yurie was right. And he is a kind of a nice guy. Which, girl, he's still being mean to you, but whatever.
No, can't you tell the magical shoujo guy is like, he's just having a hard time being direct with his kindness.
I mean, listen, in Mio's defense, she's comparing this guy to her family, yeah. Which was 1,000 times worse. So,
yeah, he's great.
Anything is better than that, basically.
Yeah.
She has another flashback to when she was a kid. She realizes that somebody took her mom's stuff and she thinks it's Kaya. So she goes to confront Kaya, but then her stepmom is furious at her and she steps on her mother's wooden comb, cracking it, and then locks Mio in a storehouse.
I think she straight up went to confront the grown ass woman. Like, yo, lady, maybe. You stole my mom's stuff. I thought it was like, that's bold.
Yep. Then she gets locked in the storehouse and a servant, Hana tries to intervene on her behalf. But she just ends up getting fired instead. And Mio wakes up and wonders what happened to Hana.
I think surely she becomes a character in this show, because otherwise, why?
I feel like it. It's the only reason why I put this in there.
For real.
Also, her dad was just watching all of this happen and didn't do anything because he sucks. Mio gets dressed and notices that her like work or like normal day kimono has another hole in it. So she's like, gotta patch that. She starts to make breakfast, but is interrupted by Yurie, who comes in at her usual time. And Yurie explains that she was worried after yesterday, so she just came in early just to make sure that everything was going okay. Yurie and Mio make breakfast together, and Yurie shows her some new tricks about how to cook, because she is good at cooking.
Well, she was surprised to see her, because, right, what's this? Oh, God. Kyoka was like, oh, she's coming in late, because he can't be direct and say, hey, You know what? Give it another try. I had to lie because I'm too cool.
Listen, this is the best we're going to get.
Okay.
This is the best we're going to get with like old timey Japanese family relations. Mm. You can't just have a normal ass conversation. You have to be weird freaks about everything. This is what the past is like.
Okay.
Mio sets up breakfast and Kyoka sits down to eat. Mio's about to take her tray and I guess leave the room with it. But Kyoka like side eyes her, so she remains seated instead. That was my read of the situation.
She definitely wasn't eating with her family, so it's probably just in her mindset to just subservient to go eat somewhere.
Yeah,
she's out of sight.
Mio watches as Kyoka takes his entire bowl of soup up to his mouth and drinks it.
It is a tiny bowl.
It's a tiny. This is a weird. Is this what you do in the first? This is how you'd start. You wouldn't like eat anything out of the bowl first. You just slurp it down.
Because it was like a chunky soup. There was things. It was in big.
There was stuff in it.
I don't know.
Man just goes straight for the broth
soup.
I found that very odd.
It was just so delicious. He couldn't resist.
Yes, he says it's delicious, and for the first time in years, Mio receives some praise. She's so touched that she starts crying, and Kyoka's like, whoa, hey, you okay there? And Mio apologizes, but Kyoka tells her to stop apologizing.
Yeah, that's going to be like a continued request that's denied.
Yep.
I can relate
to that.
That's
normal. I've met people like this.
Yeah.
Yep. This is real.
Yep.
Later in the courtyard, Kyoka wonders what the hell kind of upbringing Mio had if she's crying at a simple compliment. He's like, what's going on here?
He cares. Like, he's not stone cold. He cares about her. And he's going to get to
he's
the
also,
bottom of it.
I think he's also just kind of weirded out.
Yeah.
He tells Yurie that he's going to conduct an investigation of the Sayamoris and asks her to keep an eye on Mio. But Yurie is just happy that he's taking an interest in one of his fiancés for once. And he's like, yeah, well, usually they just want my money and power or whatever. They're not, like, crying over compliments and stuff. Mio isn't like that. She's just kind of sad.
I think our first show we covered where you're like, she's just the saddest, wettest cat or what?
Yeah. I must have been talking about Sawako from Kibidi Tadoke.
Oh, yeah,
just like, damn,
yours.
Just the saddest, wettest cat ever.
The title,
just the huge eyes.
We have a new winner.
Getting dumped on in the rain.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Mio is much sadder.
Yes.
Elsewhere, Mio's dad gets an angry phone call from Mr. Tatsuishi, who accuses Mio's dad of screwing him over because he didn't tell him that Mio had Usuba blood. If he had known that, he would have had Koji marry her, as we cut to credits.
And then I was like, intrigue. What?
Yeah.
I won't take a nap now. I'm going to go to bed at 7 at night. I'm gonna watch the rest of this and then psych, Joey, we're on for recording because I was intrigued.
Yeah. Power of a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a much better
what
cliffhanger
do you think about episode 2?
Than like than God, I'm already forgetting the characters from Chi Fu's name.
Aichi. Satomu.
The queen.
Sumire. Shinobu.
Shinobu's grandma not finding the right channel is a much better cliffhanger than that.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
So this is episode 2. Magic is real. Magic. There's magic. There's demons. He shoots a laser beam from his hand.
We haven't actually seen any demons.
We haven't seen them.
Like,
that's because Mio can't see them. They're invisible to her.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, like,
this is an extremely funny setup to me. That it's just like
just
in the background, there's like a shonen ass like fantasy story happening, but because Mio doesn't have special powers, she just isn't involved, and it's just like a sad, lonely girl who's like been neglected by her family.
Yeah. Well,
I like it.
I'm surprised she wasn't like, what? Telephones? Those are real too. Like,
I feel
like she's just not encountered anything ever outside of that room.
I don't know what she does. Yeah, she doesn't do anything because she's sad. She's the saddest, wettest cat ever. She hasn't done anything.
Nope.
Yeah.
Our first.
That was episode 2. What whiplash?
Yeah. I feel, and then episode 3 is where I'm like, okay, I think I can get behind this show.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff in here that's
one.
Like, Yeah, Kyoka starts off bad, but it turns out he's just doing that to try to weed out these fiancés who suck, which, you know, if I had a bunch of people trying to marry me who sucked.
The other one sucking? Because, like, I'm supposed to take your word for it, dude? I don't know. Give us, we got all her flashbacks. Give us something.
I mean, Yurie also thinks they sucked, and I trust her.
Yeah, so far, best character.
She's the only normal person we've met so far.
Yeah. I think I just keep comparing this to all the shows that I think it's like, you know, obviously following, and it's a weird, I don't know how I feel yet, but at least I'm interested to watch more. And that's why I was like, let's just do the recap tonight so I can keep watching the show. So I'm interested enough to watch more after episode three, so let's get to it.
Yep, I'll have some bigger thoughts about the first three episodes at the end of episode three, but let's hit episode three. Episode three is called Our First Date. We open on Mio and Kyoka eating dinner together, facing each other this time.
Ooh.
We're making progress, people! Kyoka asks Mio if she likes living here, and she says, and asks what she does for fun, and she says that she reads magazines and sews.
Might as well be eating bonbons. Look at her just chilling,
fretting about not having actual work to do. Kyoka invites her to come out with him to town tomorrow, and Mio hesitates and says that she'll just be a nuisance if she doesn't have like a reason to go into town, but he's like, it's fine, you should just come with me,
and you know,
you're my fiance technically.
Yeah, this is where if she had a friend, this is where if she was Sarah and this is real life, her friend would be like, stop fishing for compliments. Yeah, I want to hang out with you. Yeah, you're cool. Whatever. Good lord. Yeah.
Then he thanks her for the meal and leaves. And Mio is like, wait a minute, are we going on a date? As the OP plays. The answer is yes, they're going on a date.
I guess. More progress than some couples get in these shows, honestly.
That's true.
Three. Going strong.
We cut to Mio combing her hair with her mother's broken comb. It's not a very good comb, but it's all she's got. Yurie comes in to show her a new vanity mirror that she can use to get ready. And then she offers to do Mio's makeup. But Mio's never really done her makeup before and doesn't have any of the supplies. But Yurie is like, I got you covered. And then we get a montage of a makeover montage.
Yeah.
Episode three, the makeover.
Living my dream. If I could just have someone come and do my makeup for me. Help me with my hair every day, I would die happy.
Yep. She looks pretty good. They like put like flowers
in her
hair. I want
the damn bangs out of her face. I just like,
yeah, she's got the
bangs.
Get those
out of there. What, Sawako, get out of here. We've already watched your show.
Yep. she's got the traditional girl haircut.
Mm-hmm. It's not Hime cut, but.
No. But she looks pretty good. Kyoka calls her over and sees how pretty she is, and he's speechless, but then he recovers and they head out. Damn.
No,
she's
blushy
so hot.
Boy. Give us some blushing. God, that would make me like
he's
you
too cool.
A lot more. I love a blushy boy.
Listen, he's a pyrokinetic, so he's real good at staying cool.
He's an everything kinetic, probably.
They drive off in his car, and he tells her that they're going to go to his office so that they can park there, because parking downtown sucks, which, for real, it's true. It's never gotten better. It wasn't good in 1920. It's not good now.
Yeah, that's very relatable.
They arrive at his military branch, and they see his aide, Goto, who comes to talk with them. And he's like, hey, man, who's this girl you brought with you? But then Kyoka scares him off, because we still have no humor.
No, I thought... She's going to be like, was he talking about me when he says someone was pretty? It's going to be. Sorry, I'm just going to
She doesn't say anything. She's too intimidated to talk to him.
I'm just going
to
talk for her of what I imagine a shoujo protagonist would say.
Uncharitable shoujo reads.
That's
by
me.
Sarah.
Always.
Kyoka apologizes to Mio and says that despite how he acts, Goto is actually a pretty powerful user. A powerful, powerful, funny man.
We'll never get to tell, because I don't know how much time we get with the cool powers or not.
I don't know. We get a little bit at the end of this episode.
A little.
Kyoka and Mio walk into town. He asks her if she wants to go and see anything, but Mio doesn't really have any idea what to do, because she's never really been downtown before. So Kyoka's just like, why don't we just go run some errands then? They walk around and Mio has a fun time window shopping, and Kyoka comments that it looks like she's having fun, and Mio gets embarrassed. Then he pats her head.
Oh, and says, God, it's good to have fun. Head pat.
Head pat.
What
girl doesn't want to get pat on top of the head after they've done their makeup and hair?
I just think his character, I feel like we're being told everything and nothing is being shown to us that like feels more than like surface level. Like these are just
because this is their first date.
I'm just saying, like, he was all like, if I tell you to die, die. Now I'm cutting your head. Like an episode okay, but he's later.
Bullshitting them.
I'm just like, come on. Can we have.
Now he's like,
nothing feels like, earned. Everything's just happening.
Now he's like, I'm petting you like you're my dog.
It's the nicest thing anyone's ever done for her.
Yeah, she's a very sad, pathetic child, okay?
Yeah.
But it's cute. I think it's cute. This works for me. This isn't working for you at all. This is I'm joking around, but I do actually like this.
I've seen it better many times before. I am unmoved.
Okay. Wow.
I literally, as I was watching
the expert
it,
is unimpressed.
I see what they're trying to do. That's it. I see you.
All right.
Okay. Continue.
Elsewhere, Mio's dad and Koji's dad have a heated discussion about why Koji isn't married to Mio if she had Asuba blood. Mio's dad says that they got an offer from the Kudo family that they couldn't refuse. Besides, Mio doesn't have any gifts anyway. But Koji's dad counters that it's her genetics that matter here. But it's too late now, I guess, because she's going to get married to Kudo. But he thinks to himself that his family will have Mio one way or another. He's not going to lose to the Kudos.
I like that we've resorted to just saying so-and-so's dad. And
yeah, who cares? I'm not going to say their last name. They're complicated ass last name, mm-hmm. but I'm doing that. Outside, Kaya interrogates one of the servants about what her father is talking about. And then she gets all irritated that it's about Mio. And then Koji sees her and tries to change the subject, but Kaya thinks that Koji still likes Mio too. She's like, why is everybody thinking about Mio? She's out of this house. She's been gone for a whole episode. Come on.
She has written off as dad, basically.
Yeah.
That's what she's just
like, who the hell even is that? Back in the city, Mio and Kyoka go to a kimono shop, and Kyoka knows the manager, and she says he has his order in the back because he ordered something. In the back, the manager teases Kyoka for bringing a woman with him. It must be pretty serious if you're taking her into town. He's like, he deflects. Kyoka thinks about a conversation he had earlier with Yurie, where she told him that Mio only has like one outdoor kimono and one work kimono, and that's it. She's got two pairs of clothes. And Kyoka wonders why a girl from a rich family only has like one set of clothes. What the hell's going on, dude? What was going on in episode one? I wasn't there for it.
God, be glad you weren't.
Kyoka asks the manager for some recommendations for Mio. He sees a nice pink fabric and requests a kimono made for that, and the manager tells him that she can make it, but it'll take a while. Then she hands him a wooden box, which he takes. Then she tells him that he needs to hang on to this girl. She's like super attractive if you dress her up. And don't fuck this up like you always do, Kyoka.
I was assuming this lady just somehow knew about her fancy blood or whatever. And that's why she was so insistent.
I don't think it was the blood thing. I think she's like straight up like, have you ever seen The Breakfast Club? Have you ever seen 10 Things I Hate About You? You could give this girl a makeover and she'll be hot. Except in The Breakfast Club, she gets considerably less hot. But, you know, I think it's basically like that.
Yes. I know. We liked when she was just making dandruff drawings, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever her name was, Basket.
She's like,
girl.
Kyoka, I don't know if you know this, but your girlfriend is super hot. Don't screw this up. And he's like, all right, fine. I won't screw it up. He comes out to see Mio staring at a pink kimono that reminds her of her mother. Later, they go to a cafe and Mio eats some weird jelly bowl thing that she doesn't like.
I think it's not that she doesn't like it. It's just that he is expecting her to smile if she likes it. And so this is just him being like, oh, it'd be nice to see if you smiled.
Because
I'm a big softy now. Don't remember me from 5 seconds. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to keep harping on it. Continue.
Kyoka says he wants to see her smile, and she's all bashful and doesn't know what to say.
No.
And then they sit there awkwardly. And then Kyoka seamlessly transitions the conversation to say that they're probably going to get married next.
Yup.
And Mio has an awful feeling that Kyoka is only going to marry her because he thinks that she has magical powers, which she doesn't. But if she told him that, she'd get thrown out. So she decides just to roll with it for now, but she feels really bad about it.
Magical
powers. This is very funny to me.
Yep. Okay.
Listen, she has no self-respect and thinks the only thing that would be valuable about her is her magical powers, which she doesn't have, but she just assumes that's the only reason why he'd like her.
Yep, there's nothing.
Which is funny, because he does not give a shit at all.
No.
They go home, and Yuri finds Kyoka leaving a wooden box from earlier outside Mio's room. Later, Mio sees the box and opens it, revealing a new wooden comb with a flower design on it. She rushes to see Kyoka and asks if he gave it to her, and he plays coy, as she insists it's too nice for her to have. We learn that a wooden comb is like a marriage gesture, so he's kind of proposing to her by giving her a comb, even though they're already supposedly engaged.
He's
so like,
don't read into it.
Yeah, he's like, don't worry about it. It was just nice. I thought maybe you should just have a nice thing, you know? You're my girl, so you should have a nice comb.
Because we're in love now.
Because we're in love now.
It's about to be episode 4.
We're getting married.
We don't have time. The show's called My Happy Marriage. We gotta get married. Slash, there's magic in this show.
Slash, we gotta resolve the magical powers. Yes. Subplot. Mio accepts the gift and smiles at him, and he's happy about it. Oh, she smiled finally.
Uh-huh.
Don't you love it when women smile?
I mean, so I tell women all the time, you'd look a lot nicer if you smiled. And they love it.
Sometime later at work, a PI... did.
So sorry.
That is basically what he did.
Yeah.
But he was not creepy
canceled.
About it. He's nice.
This is 2025. Canceled, sir.
He's canceled. Kyoka Kuda from 1920. Canceled. We're ending his contract.
Anyways, back to the whole ass paragraph you were saying as I was talking over you.
Sometime later at work, a PI comes to tell Kyoka that Mio is basically Cinderella. She has no magical powers, and her mom was an Usuba. Kyoka's like, well, that's crazy, but I guess that explains why she's like that. Still, like, her mom being of the Usuba clan is, like, super weird. What's up with that?
Yeah, he gets the backstory on her shitty family, and he's all mad about it. He's like, I'ma show them, because I love her.
Yeah. I would also do this. I would do this even if I wasn't in love with this person. I'd be like, what the fuck?
But in,
why are y'all such assholes?
How they have a photo of her somehow, like, in their dossier. I don't think anyone was taking a photo of that chick back when she was at the last place, but unless it's, like, a whole conspiracy. Well, I guess somebody knew about it in advance, but...
Somebody did. This is like a PI from like a noir thing, but he's like in the 1920s. He's got like a hat on. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
While walking to his car, Kyoka notices that he's being tailed by paper crane Shikigami, which are just like little familiars that you can summon. And he burns them all up because he shoots fire from his hands. And he's like, why is someone tailing me as we cut to credits?
Fire tornado.
They all lit on fire and fall to the ground. And he's like, well, that was stupid.
Yeah, look at, okay. And then
right.
I have a feeling that would be the dad of Koji Shikigami.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get into a magic fight.
Yeah. I'm assuming he has an older brother that Koji thought was going to marry her or something. So I'm assuming intro his older brother at some point. And that's who's going to be fighting, because it's not cool to have not two hot guys fighting, you know? And this is a shoujo. So I bet his brother's going to be a babe. He's going to be the one. He's going to be evil, but he's going to be hot. And he's going to be the one fighting.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, and they're out. Well, no. I thought they were going to. Okay. I thought it was going to be that Koji and Kaya ran into Mio and Kyoka out in town. And there's going to be a thing then. But I guess at some point that's going to happen. And then she's going to be like, what? Why did you end up with the hottie and I got this guy instead? Let's swap
him. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's 100% happening, because that happens in all of the whatever this is reflective of. Let's see. She's going to get magical powers. What they say the family thing was? Mind. Something to do with the mind control, it sounded
like. They have like a mind control thing.
Yeah, that's the family bloodline power. Whereas her, or
which is Kaya's cool.
Was seeing and
yep.
sight, seeing, soul seeing or something.
I don't know what she has. She just has general magic abilities.
Faking. I was like, could she be faking this somehow just to pretend? But I don't know. yeah. Well, I am interested to see where this goes.
Magic subplot. It's very weird that like the A plot is like Mio. Will Mio get accustomed to her life where she's treated with some amount of kindness while she has all this historical trauma of being neglected and feeling worthless? And then the B plot. This guy is going to get into a magic fight?
Yeah.
Over his wife, I guess?
Yes. So.
Pretty cool.
Interesting.
So
we haven't had magic fights yet, really.
We haven't had magic fights. That's true.
So.
That's true.
New. All new. I wonder how that'll intersect for us.
Yeah.
You know, historical.
I feel like this is going to be a little hard for me because like the way it's turning out is like Kyoka's going to be a nice guy who's going to like open Mio up to like basically experiencing Joy. What it's like to be a subservient housewife. And I feel like I'm not going to like that very much. I'm still going to be annoyed at him. With my modern standards. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that this is like good for the time, but I feel like I'm going to become annoyed if he's still like, oh, make me dinner and then I get to eat first and you get to eat second and you can only speak when spoken to, et cetera, et cetera.
If I'm being generous, which I don't like to be, but I mean, maybe it's just his way of like respecting her boundaries, because it's not like she's gonna be super comfortable right away, so at least somewhat emulate what she's used to but in a nicer way and then earn her trust. Yeah. Maybe kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna want more. If it stops there, I'm gonna be furious.
I am very interested to see how this it's like so predictable in some ways, but the like magic park was so unpredictable, but like I can probably predict how the magic stuff's going to go and how this other stuff's going to go. Unless some other crazy thing happens, I feel like it's just going to be how they get meshed together. That's going to be the interesting part.
Yeah. I think it's fine. So like, I'm having a good time. I guess you've seen a lot more stuff, so maybe this isn't like up to standard for you.
I've just seen like, it's just very, it's like the sampler plate of different things.
I see.
Whereas I've had the main course, five meal.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I see. Well, it's new to me. Because this is only my, fifth shoujo or something.
Yeah.
So, So that's cute. That's
my happy marriage so far.
I like that Mio's married to like an X-Men.
Like super not happy, but I guess we have to have the complete absence of happiness for it then to become a happy marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope Mio gets some more hobbies.
I hope she gets a personality.
Damn.
And a haircut. Just bangs out of there. Okay.
He gets a better haircut.
Yes. Oh, Lord. Far, no one's taught Misaki's bad little rat tails. But anyways, that's that. We're an hour and a half in. Do you think that's because we just talked
about before we just rolled into it? You want to go to two?
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I know. Yeah, we should do another three. If we do, we can't just do two because then we'll be at an odd number. So we'll do another three and then we'll see how that goes.
Basically. Yep. Okay. See. Yep. Okay, cool. So we'll watch episodes 4, 5, and 6 next time. While you guys are dying to hear our anticipation of that, what can listeners do for us? And what have some listeners or a listener done for us?
Yeah.
That you're about to ask me.
If you enjoyed this show, know that we're going to keep covering the show
segment.
We're going to go through season 1 and maybe season 2 for like an end at the end of season 1. We've covered other shows in the past. As we've mentioned, we just finished covering Chihai Furu, a pretty nice looking show up until it stops being a nice looking show. We've also watched other things like Kimi ni Todoke. We covered all the seasons, including the new ish third season. We watched Skip Beat. We watched Angelic Lair right at the beginning, which isn't really a shoujo, but we're kind of counting it as it is. And we watched that other one, A Sign of Affection. It's A Sign of Affection. That's it. We covered that. And, you know, also yeah. We release some bonus episodes sometimes. So there's plenty of content for you to, you know, listen over if you miss our voices so much and want to check out some other shows in the meantime. We'll continue more or less at this clip. We'll, you know, how many were if we're going to drop down to two later on. But next time we're going to watch the next three episodes. Please rate us 5 stars in your podcast platform of choice. That's like the best way for the algorithms to pick us up so that other people can hear us. Please tell your friends about it. That's like the best way to actually get new listeners on things. And if you leave a 5-star review, I will read it aloud on the podcast, in Apple Podcasts. Why? Okay. All right.
Regardless of content. The second one did not come in.
What does the second one say?
Did the second one come in? Okay. I can't spoil it.
Well, all right. Here's a 5-star rating.
To our next episode to hear.
From someone named George12331. George12331 says, I love feet. They're so intricate and smelly. Thanks, George12331. For saying that and making me read it out loud. I will go ahead and say that I don't really care what you comment because I don't think the algorithm cares. I think they just like comments. So you can write anything and I'll probably read it unless I won't read it. Like if you put really bad stuff That's in right. there. This was fine. Whatever. Thanks for making okay. me say that, George.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There you have it.
Okay.
That's from one of my dumbass brothers. And then the next review we get. From another, so get ready
fantastic.
For nonsense from boys.
All right, well, next time we're going to watch episodes 4 through 6, and we will be halfway-ish through the show.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, thank you everyone who is returning to listen to our new coverage, and for any new listeners we have, we hope you enjoyed your time here, and if you have, and you can't wait to hear from us, you can always go back and listen to those old series.
I forgot that one.
Our coverage of the Rose of Versailles would be a good starting point. That's a good the big old giant one. Yeah, the one we've ranked number
one. I mentioned Skip Beat.
Did we say Skip Beat? Did we miss multiple shows? Okay, yeah. So yeah, feel free to take
what did we learn? What did we learn? We'll do a segment at the end where I ask, what did we learn from these three episodes of anime we watched? You hate the segment. I know
that's
you do.
The thing we do.
But we're doing it. What did we learn? Did we learn anything?
We're supposed to.
You got to make your kimono orders early so that they're still in season by the time they make it. It takes time for them to make the kimono. So if you order it too late, it'll be out of season.
I learned that just because a show doesn't. Say
there could always be magic. There could always be an episode that's I don't have magical powers.
At some point. So always be on your toes expecting magic. Yes. It's not set up as part of the lore of the world, but that's fine. We'll figure it out.
That's pretty good.
Anything better? Nope, that's it. That's what we learn.
Okay. Will it happen, viewers, listeners? I'll tell you. Let's see it. Come on.
Okay. No, not for them. you'll have to wait till next episode.
Very
to
realistic.
It.
Very good. All right.
Cut it.
Catch us next time. Bye.
Uh-huh. All right. Bye.
That's pretty good. I can't believe you're so down on it.
All right, here I go. I'm feeling a little crazy, right? I don't know why I feel weird, but
yeah, good energy.
I have
good energy
like
for the
a
new
old
listeners.
Stale cookie and
okay.
I don't know. Okay. Normal. I'm normal.
I'm so normal. trying to be normal about it.
Okay. Hello, listeners. Wait, no, JK.